welcome to Conversations About Life.
Well, thanks, William, for being a guest on my podcast. My guest today is William of Confluence Kombucha, and we're right here at Confluence Kombucha. And tell me about the name, William. Where did the name come from?
So when I started thinking about the space in which we are here in St. Louis, we are at the confluence of the two biggest rivers. And I thought that was something really powerful to hold in the idea of the company, as we are a water-based company. You know, everything that we do revolves around water. And so to be at the confluence of those two rivers is just really, really saying to me in a different way. And over the years, you know, it's become to mean a lot of other different things. There's meetings that happen here that, like, are just such choice meetings of people that, you know, they were friends years ago, and now one lives in Arizona and one lives here, and they just somehow cross paths here one day in the right moment. And it keeps telling stories like that. And the other thing for me, as the person who is creating most of the beverages here at Confluence, the kombuchas kind of take a lot of different personalities and characters. And all of those things are pulled from a bunch of different areas. Like, we wild forage stuff, we use dried botanicals, we use roots, we use French fries in the kombucha, and it's just all these different ideas coming together just like the rivers to become something new and something that's hopefully stronger than them separately. You know, that's like what we're aiming for, is to take these things, put them through this medium of kombucha that is a healing beverage, and create strength in flavor, in maybe the medicinal qualities of it, and just the experience of, like, having a beverage that, like, nobody's ever had before. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super fun. I pull from, like, Moroccan food or spices, and a lot of, like, Japanese food, and those kinds of ideas, to kind of, like, bring those ideas through the beverage. And I think kombucha is kind of a unique one, because it actually, I think, as a beverage, probably has the most breadth of, like, what we can create inside of it. Like, I can use ideas from beer brewing, wine making, scotch making, and all kinds of other different things, and bring those flavors and those profiles in through kombucha to give it just like a whole different personality and life to it. Like, today on the board here, we have a rye whiskey barrel kombucha. So we're taking the chips of the old barrels and infusing the flavor into the kombucha to give it that flavor without it having any alcohol in it. There's a lot of non-alcoholic stuff that's happening in the world right now. And I started thinking about, like, well, what would be, like, really authentic to that? And I was like, well, what about these barrel chips I've been seeing everywhere? And so we started using those. We used tequila barrel and rum barrel in there, and then maybe we'll put some fresh fruit with it or something like that, just to kind of give it, like, a mocktail kind of idea. But it's just one flavor of kombucha, which is kind of fun. And then we got a bunch of one-off stuff over here. We got a green tomato with that it's local, and local lemongrass. So it's like end of the year harvest, with a wild foraged, trifoliate orange, which is the only local citrus that bears fruit here in Missouri. That was the one, I would say that's the ingredient from last year that really captivated me. I'd heard about it. I hadn't like come into contact with it, and, it kind of really showed up big last year. And it's just, it's citrus, but it's got a whole different flavor profile. It's got a lot of like oils in it because it's trying to be, it's hardier in a colder climate. So it has to protect itself more. So it has just a depth of flavor that your regular orange won't have. So just, you know, the idea of Confluence is to kind of pull from all of these different areas and create these unique experiences for me first, and then to share with everybody, and tell those stories. Because the trifoliate orange is super cool. I mean, it's like, it's a really unique one to have here, and to be have access to. And they're really gnarly looking. They have these, you can see them above you here. The branches kind of look like really kind of menacing, antlers. And with big old thorns on them. And so, you know, they're really protecting themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really kind of just special to be able to utilize them and create something that's fun and also, like, know their story about, you know, they're kind of thick-skinned and they have these really thorny branches that you have to spend time to like get them and like make sure you don't poke yourself in the eye or whatever. Mm-hmm. So this, every one of my kombuchas have a story like that. And we're over 700 flavors at this point. Mm-hmm. So I've been rocking out, at least one new flavor every week for 14 years or something. So,
so for someone who's, you know, brand new to kombucha, it's fermented tea, right? Or how would you just introduce someone to knowing just what kombucha is?
Yeah, so it's a really simple process. We boil our water, we dissolve sugar in there, and then we use green tea in as our base. So when we get to the temperature we want, we put the tea in there, let it cool, and then we put in a culture that's similar to a vinegar mother. And so it has the bacteria and yeast live on there. It's called a SCOBY, a symbiotic colony of bacteria and yeast. I had a little piece 14 years ago when I started, and now we have, I don't know, we have 400, 500 gallons at a time typically, so right around there. And so there's a lot of SCOBYs, and they create a brand new culture every single time, so it's pretty cool. No matter what size container you're fermenting in, it will start to cover the entire top with cellulose. So one of the byproducts of the fermentation process is cellulose. One of the bacteria produces that. And so it protects itself while the tea underneath is fermenting and changing and creating organic acids and enzymes and live bacteria that once it gets done, we get to digest, and then that helps our microbiome and innumerable processes through the body through that balancing of the microbiome and your digestive system. So...
It's normally a carbonated drink, right?
Actually, the history of it is that they would just have it in the house, and you would just pull some out of there as you needed it prior to like carbonating beverages. So it would just be basically a flat drink. Okay. Over time, people started putting it in bottles. Mm-hmm. And doing a secondary carbon fermentation in the bottles. But it's been about 3,000 years since kombucha's evolved to what it became. And then in the last 30 years, there's been an industry that's kind of come up around it. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, most people were just doing it at home and sharing their cultures between one another, and just like a folk remedy that people have just been holding on to forever and ever. Started in like northern China, southern Mongolia, Japan, Korea, Russia, all around the same time. There's just a lot of stories about where and what and how and, you know, who was the first or whatever, but it all kind of popped up around the same time, so it kind of evolved. And then, yeah, it started to move from there, and mostly, like I said, mostly people were just doing it at home for themselves.
Mm-hmm. So the SCOBY, you know, it gets, like, my daughter makes kombucha at home, mm-hmm. and the SCOBY gets thick, and there's different layers to it, and then it kind of divides. And what do you do with the SCOBY, you know, like extra SCOBY material, you know, byproduct? Are there kind of interesting things that you do with that, or do you just keep reusing it for expanding your kombucha?
Yeah, we've done a ton of different stuff with it. I think my favorite thing to do with it is to take the fresh fruit out of the kombucha that we infuse and then mix it with the SCOBY and make fruit leathers out of it. Hmm. So we're making probiotic fruit leathers out of the fresh fruit that we put into the kombucha to give it the flavor. And then we mix it with the SCOBY to give it like a little bit more fiber. And it's like perfect, like fruit roll up kind of things. And it's like just so fun to talk about that. And the acidic nature of the kombucha basically preserves that whole thing. Hmm. So you don't have to add any like potassium sorbate or any chemicals to make it. To preserve it for, I mean, I had some for an entire year in a container and no molds showed up or anything. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool to have that knowledge of that process. Besides that, we've just made some art pieces with the SCOBYs, dried them. And done stuff like that. And then also we've worked with people creating fabrics and stuff like that with the SCOBYs. That is still in its like infancy, but it's still a pretty cool idea to be able to like start making like vegan leathers and stuff like that with it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a lot more coming up soon, so...
Are there any other fermented foods that you are into?
I'm all over the place with the fermented foods. I've been working on a menu for an event next week that has 1 year fermented radishes in there. Hmm. So we took radishes, put them in a chanterelle salt with 5.5%, so pretty salty, and then topped it with mustard oil so that there's no chances of like any outside contaminants getting in there. And then on that same dish, we're going to have a 2 year fermented garlic honey. So just garlic and honey. Mm-hmm. For the first like 3 weeks, kind of have to like pay attention to it and make sure it's not getting too wild and crazy in there, and like allowing the CO2 to come off. And then, yeah, those are kind of like just stuff that I like to play with. But we have another part of our company that does kimchis. mm-hmm. and coconut yogurt and tempeh.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that whole side of our company is called the Living Larder. And so those are all things that are packaged and you can like utilize in your own home cooking and stuff like that. So.
Well, kind of, you know, just turning a corner and just talking more about you and, as a person, what else are you into besides, you know, your work and your art here?
I'm a big concert goer.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. I love music. It's been a piece of my life for so long, that once people started coming back out after the pandemic, it was like all of these things that people wanted to do as artists, as musicians, just started to just like erupt. And I don't think I've seen more music in my life than in the last like 3 years. And it's all been some of the funnest stuff I've like been able to experience, because everybody was locked down. Everybody wanted to hit that road once it was open. And so I think the fans and the musicians both came to a new place in the appreciation of the thing that they do and they shared. Mm-hmm. And it's just been so fun to see all the different genres, because I love all kinds of different music, to see that and to feel that. And like, it was there before, but it's a different level on both sides. And it just feels like it's even more ecstatic experience than I've ever felt. And I don't know if that's just where I'm at, or I don't know. I really feel like there's a deeper appreciation for that, that sharing.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to be a part of. And, I mean, I got to see The Cure last year, which is like, you know, they're just one of the best rock bands ever. You know, it's like, I want to experience that, because I don't know when that's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. And there's bands that out there are doing their 20 and 30 year anniversaries of their albums that like I loved when I was like super young, and now they're doing this tour, which, you know, I'm not going to be able to see that again. They, you know, they may do it again. Who knows? So I love that ephemerality of a concert, and like, you know, maybe you have to travel to go see it, maybe you don't. And
what's the local music like around here? Is it pretty good?
Or, oh yeah. Yeah. St. Louis has got a really dynamic music scene. I've been part of it for a really long time. I think my first job that I would have like really loved to be my career was a band scout. And I did that for a record label in St. Louis for like 2 years. And yeah, that was probably the first job that I like loved the most. And then it just didn't pan out, and that's okay. It got me to where I am today. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just even last Friday, there was a really just great local show, and people that I know, and it's just really, really fun to get together. And it was a benefit for one of the guy's dogs, had a accident and we needed some help paying for the medical bills. So that was really sweet to see the whole scene come together and and have fun.
Yeah.
It was like just so good. And then, you know, the week before that, it was like three shows in one night that was all local bands. It was all the best like local musicians playing all on the same night. So you just like kind of pop around, hop around, and see what's going on and celebrate. So
like the name of the podcast is Conversations About Life. Mm-hmm. And like one of the common themes that's interesting to me just to find out from people is just, you know, what's their philosophy of life or what's their foundational beliefs or how do they just see things when it comes to life? So I don't know how to just kind of put the question, but something like that. For you, you know, what's your viewpoint on just what life is about? For example, like, are you religious? Is that, you know, part of your worldview, or is it something different than that, or just?
Yeah, it's a. I think it's a thing that I'm always moving through and towards and in and out of different ideas about myself and about the world around me. And I do believe that there is something larger at play. And I can see that in so many things that I get, that I like move in through and get to like see that story. Like I can see that there is something weaving this together and that it's not just some random experience that we're all here for. And when I was young, everybody in my family went to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. We did that for years and years and years. And when I became a teenager, I started to like become a little bit more standoffish with the religious part. I did not like stay away from like the ideas in the Bible and those things. Like I still hold those things close. I think there's a lot of principles that kind of are overarching in the human experience that, whether you're Buddhist or Muslim or Christian or you're holding any of those ideas, there are threads throughout those that we can all hold and we can all hold each other to. And I think there's something really beautiful to that in the human experience. You know, I wouldn't call myself religious. I don't go to church regularly. I do connect with Source every day through my work, through just breathing, meditating. I really don't feel like there's one way for anybody to get through the day. I think everybody I think most people want to know what it is that's holding it together and want to like have that in their mind of like this deeper understanding. I think for the most part, our human experience can't really like even touch the bigger idea of like what this all could mean. You know, maybe it doesn't mean anything. I'm not saying that it does or doesn't, but I know when I get up in my day and things start to transpire in a way that I'm just like, just makes me smile in a way that I'm like, wow, that's kind of fun. Like I didn't think that was going to happen in that way, or even the hard stuff. And you feel supported in the hard stuff, and you see yourself being exposed to something new for your own benefit in a way that like feels like a lesson from somewhere else. Like, I feel that, and I want to like sit with that and acknowledge the bigger idea. And I think that comes from like the idea of trying to be as close to nature and being a naturalist in that way of like, you know, maybe the, you know, maybe the trees are conspiring to make my day so beautiful, you know? Well, they are. I mean, I think everything's connected. So, the way that you can see the world around you is like, is innate to your experience. You know, we all have complex traumas that we've all experienced in our lives. We've also had like ecstatic, most beautiful moments, and how we take all of those things and we like get to walk around in these bodies and use these eyes and our senses are all innate to our individual experience that we all have a continuous thread with everybody else that's in our lives, that's across the seas, that is right next to us. And I think something that I've been like sitting with for a long while, is this idea of loss. And I actually just listened to a podcast with Nick Cave, and his idea was that the strongest thread that we all hold is this feeling of loss, because everybody has that like depth of grief to some point. Everybody loses somebody that they love, and that's a place for me, that sadness and that grief that I've kind of used in my creative endeavors for a long time. And I think a lot of artists dip from that well. And I think the best artists can like allow that to come across in a way that can, that is allowing us to have those feelings too. You know, maybe we couldn't put words to that, you know? And I think that's what religion can do too. I think, you know, religious artists and all the, you know, like all the different layers that we have, we all can express that like deeper understanding of the world. We all have that. And it's really, really fun to like get into that space with people and like get to understand them in that way of like, how, you know, how are you seeing the world today? I mean, just sitting here in this conversation right now, like I'm seeing myself in a new way, because of the question that's been posed. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. That was a ramble.
Yeah, that's fine. You mentioned loss, and I saw, you know, being able to, you know, experience that, that kind of ties us together. And I've been thinking about something along the same lines lately, that life is hard for everybody. And sometimes we forget that, but we need to remember it, that when we look around us, people are dressed well, they're well-groomed, they look like they have it all together. But just in general, the human experience is that life is hard for everybody, you know, and sometimes it's more severe than other times, but that's something we all carry. But as far as the loss that you were mentioning for yourself, you mentioning, you know, maybe losing somebody, or is that what it is for you, or what is that ache or that loss that, you know, you carry with you and that you draw from and that you, you know, experience?
Well, I think I've always had this, like, this space, this void, that I've like danced around, and I've tried to understand in all these different ways from very early in my life. And it really came from my father leaving super early in my life. He left when I was 3, banished from the house, actually. And for most of my life, I felt at a loss about that in so many different ways. Like, I almost feel like it was like a loss of, like, innocence in a way. It's like soon thereafter, I was having to be way older than I was actually in my age and in my maturity, and ill-equipped to do any of that. And because he wasn't there, there wasn't anybody to be taking that role in the house. And not saying that I had to take on that role, my mom had to take on all of those roles. So I had to be in a different kind of role because of that. And just not having that voice in my life. I mean, I don't remember him in my life, but I think my body and my mind, like, it's still there. And I felt like for so long that I was like part of that loss. Like, I didn't know why. And then I knew why. And I still felt that way. But then I felt this other way too, that I could understand my mom's loss in a new way and what she had like actually experienced in that. So I think as a baseline, I'm just like melancholy. Like, my, just like, I've had a lot of like trauma from early on, maybe even before, like maybe even like as I was in the womb, from what I know now. And so mourning that like loss of like just like being able to not just live in trauma, I think is something that has propelled me to like learn and understand and be like with that in a way that allows me to be more connected to that, like part of the human experience, and to be able to share in that with people. in a way that I feel like sometimes people show up in my life in a very dark spot, and I can like help them because I've been there, and I can see that and I can hold that, and it seems really special. It didn't feel like that for a long time, but in a way, that loss of innocence has got me to opening a kombucha brewery. Early on in my life, I started having ulcers, like 5, 6 years old, and had ulcers my whole life, basically. And typically, ulcers do not come to children unless something super traumatic happens. And I didn't know what that thing was that happened until 2 years ago. And it makes sense now that like I know what happened. And so I feel like my whole path has been to get to creating this kombucha for people, which is just like wild and fun and crazy to think about. Like, this started when I was like 5 years old, this whole path. It's like my whole childhood, like I couldn't eat anything, basically. My whole, like my whole digestive system was completely wrecked. Tons of anxiety and all those kinds of things. And I turned 27 and had a bout of food poisoning and ended up in the ICU with a bleeding ulcer. And that's how we got to kombucha. Well, for until 27, from 5 to 27, like my eating habits were like pretty dull, because I couldn't really eat much without it being like ice picks in my digestive system. And so I started drinking kombucha out of this ICU, 3 days in the ICU. I reached out to a friend who was healing people with food as a naturopathic nutritionist, and she told me about kombucha. So I went out and got one off the shelves and a cranberry one, because I thought if I was going to like it, it might be cranberry, because my grandma always had cranberry juice around when I was growing up. So I started drinking it, and 3 months after I started drinking it, I could tell something was new. My energy levels were up, my mood was different. I was eating foods that I had never eaten before. Just all together, and something new was happening. And so about a year, 3 months after just drinking stuff off the shelves, I got my own culture and basically became an artist all in 1 week, it felt like. Started playing guitar, working in kitchens, and brewing kombucha in a span of like 7 days. So my life just like totally took a turn, and I've been with it ever since. And to be in the position that I'm at, I'm so grateful for all of the things that have happened to make that become my life. And it's, yeah, it's super fun to be able to create in the way I do, and then also to know that what I do really actually helps people.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
So I want to bring up something that just clicked for me last night, and I'll have to do a little bit of explaining, but if you grew up in church with the Bible, you might be familiar with some of this already. But on Monday nights, I meet with a group of men out there in Barnhart, And we have dinner together, and then we read a chapter of the Bible out loud, and then we just have a discussion about it. And we were on Romans chapter 4 last night, which the author of Romans refers back to like a story in the book of Genesis about how God showed Abraham the stars and said, your offspring are going to be like this. Now, he was past childbearing years. His wife was past childbearing years. But he believed God, and the text says, and God counted it to him as righteousness. And the author of Romans is basically just saying, hey, this ain't nothing new. Believing or trusting or having faith and being counted righteous, you know, way back then, you know. And before, I kind of pushed against that because, like, so you believe what God says, and then you're counted sinless, like righteous, you know. But I noticed a footnote in that underneath that text, you know, like down at the bottom, he says, it said righteousness is, you know, being in right relationship with God. So then it just kind of clicked that this is a relational word. Like to believe is like to place your trust in, and God is wanting relationship, and he's wanting to be trusted, you know, and that's like a relational type of thing. And then it's like, well, sure, you trust God, and then the relationship is like together, you know, you're rather than being in suspicious of him or distrusting him or going your own way. And things just started, you know, that was just last night when I was thinking about that. And that doesn't make you sinless. It just means you're in right relationship with God. And then like back in Romans, you know, the author, Paul, he talks about how Jesus, you know, took our sins and died for us. So that's like where that takes place at. But trust, faith or trust is just means, well, we're together now and we can with God and stuff like that. And I thought that was just as you were talking about loss, I was just thinking that's like, seems like a healing type of thing to be in a trusting type of relationship with the Supreme Father who's behind, you know, all of creation and things like that. And then that's counted to us, not, it says it's righteousness, but like, I understand that means like, in joined to him, mm-hmm. you know, in a right relationship with him. Do you have any thoughts or, you know, how does that resonate with you? Or I was just wanting to get your thoughts on it too. Just something that came to mind.
Yeah. Well, I think for me personally, it seems like a really big idea to be right with God. You know, there's, you know, we have the text. You know, that can show us like what that means, to be in the right places with God. But what is it like here in your heart space when you're in a bad spot? And maybe it's just like this world has got us in this bad spot, you know? Like, how do we move through that and ask for that connection and that trust to be like guided in the ways that we need to be guided is really, I think it's really beautiful to have that in our minds that we can ask for that. And just have that knowing that whatever is coming is from that place. It's not just like what I'm doing out here, you know? It's like, I feel like when I pray, I don't even use words. And I think that's the trusting and like the unknowing of like really what am I really trying to express in my human existence here to be received back is, you know, like, is it English words that's really connecting my soul with the higher being? I don't believe so. I think if I can kind of like sit in my spirit and understand my energy and like where I want it to be like moved in my body or in my mind, that's the connection that I want to have with God. Like, I don't want to be spending my intellectual part of my beingness trying to make my own truth. I want to have that truth come through in a way that's like, I don't know, I see something on the ground and it's like, I don't know, that's speaking to me in a way that I know I was asking for like a week ago or a year ago. I don't even know. It's like the other day, this is a good example. I'm at a point in my career where I need to take this business and move it. Like, I mean, we're going to have enough in the next space to triple our production. That will be a good start. But a beverage company needs to be pretty huge to actually like be successful. You need to make like oceans of this stuff. So I'm thinking about all of this. I got 700 flavors. We do everything super small batch. How am I moving this thing forward? And do you want me to? Like, you know, does the bigger idea here is not mine. It's not like I could just stay here and just do small batch kombucha forever and I would be just as happy. I know that because I've been doing it and I love it. It's great. But I'm being asked to move forward. And I've been having doubts inside of that. Last Sunday, I'm leaving here. I'm out on the street, right out front of here, the New Year's Eve of 2016 that we opened, I got in a terrible car accident out front. Four kids running from the cops. I got in my car. I didn't see them. I pulled out in front. They T-boned me at about 70 miles an hour. Right out front here. So I've been looking at that spot every day for the last 7 years. Well, this particular day, I'm not down on myself. I'm just like, I got a lot of spinning plates. Like, I got body pain. I've been working real hard at this thing. I get out about where the accident happened. There's a magazine or something just sitting on, like, basically in that spot where the accident happened. and there's a headline on it, and it says Iron Will, and it's just flapping in the wind, just back and forth, Iron Will, Iron Will, Iron Will, just going back and forth. And I'm like, that's God right there for me to like have that. Like, that gave me more strength than most people could like impart into my life with their, like, even if I'm trusting them in their words and all of that, that particular moment for me was the moment that I needed and that I was like calling out for. But not like, hey, God, give me a sign that like I, that you know I'll be able to listen to, or, you know, give me the strength, you know, like I was just calling out, and he already knows, the being already knows what we need. And in that moment, that's what I needed. And I was just like crying, because it's like that spot is like so dear and like really important to my evolution as a human. And to have that, like, I wanted to pick it up, that paper, and just like have it, but I didn't. I just took a picture of it, and it was like, I showed it to my friends, and they're like, dude, that's something special right there. You know, they got it. They understood it too. And so I guess a roundabout way, that's what I'm looking for in the world, in being right with the, with whatever is holding all this together. That's the kind of stuff that makes sense to me. And I, you know, if it's not that, it will be something else that just like rings right into that space that you're like, you already know what you're needing to, I think. Not completely, but you know what you're asking for in the world. And when that little piece comes in like that, it, those are the kinds of things that like remind me that I'm like so supported and taken care of in this moment, even if it feels like my human experience is like just kind of overwhelming or dire. Just, you know, anything other than like a headline saying iron will, like just keep listening, you know? And so
is there anything just currently that you're, you sense that you're asking for or looking for, and you know, anything that you can kind of put words to? I know you said we hardly even know it ourselves until it just kind of meets up with the answer. So, but just have any thoughts about it?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't, I think the thing for me is like in the business is having that deeper knowledge that like this is the right path, and that I have the things that I need to make that happen, and it just keeps showing up. Mm-hmm. Every little thing just keeps showing up in the way that it needs to be happening. And mm-hmm. This business is like such a dear thing to me that it's kind of inextricable from like my life path and like mm-hmm. what I'm pursuing in most of the areas of my life are like somewhat related to what is happening in this space and what that is. And I've never really thought about like running a business and what that meant. I was just like, I just want to make really great products. And what's being asked of me right now is to focus those energies in one area so that that area can blossom. And that's kind of scary for my humanness, because I like to, you know, we talked about all the different ferments. Like, I like to be in all of those different worlds and like working with all those different ideas. And as I'm like changing and growing to meet the new expectations of this new idea, I just keep asking for support and what that means for this entity. Like, I don't, like, I want to be guided in all the right ways in that. And I think I can get my own human brain in there and like try to be working it all out. But this whole thing has just been, from the very beginning, just like totally a spiritual experience for sure. I'd been doing kombucha at my house for 5 years prior to even thinking about moving it into a bigger thing. And I quit drinking alcohol, which was a huge one for me. And 3 months after that, I met my business partner that wanted to jump in right away and get this thing moving. So just in having that kind of knowledge that this thing is supported in a bigger, more grand way, I just want to keep asking for that in all of the moves. Because, you know, as somebody that lives and, you know, and eats and everything through this entity, it is hard sometimes to just like let it be in the way it needs to be moving, because my humanness is like, all right, we got to do this, and this, and like, are you going to be able to pay your rent next month and all those things, you know?
Well, that's something I wanted to ask you about. So you're obviously an artist. I mean, this room is like an expression of art, and then your kombucha. And what about the financial side of running a business? Does that just seamlessly, you know, work out as you do your art, or do you have to think about money, marketing, budgets, or whatever? And is that like just a totally separated type of thing that you just have to put that hat on and do it? Or do you not even concern yourself so much with that, and you just do your thing and that just works itself out?
Up to this point, it's worked itself out. There's been, you know, times it's been like a struggle. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing it long enough to kind of know, like the rhythms of what our seasons look like. And so being able to just like kind of weave those parts through there. The only thing a business cares about is the numbers. The entity of the business is just numbers. And so for me, the numbers are important. The ratios for the kombucha, are, you know, it's all similar, but it is a different part of my mind that I use to do that. And I've been really lucky to have people around me that really enjoy that stuff.
Okay.
And that can like help me understand it in a bigger way. Cause I never went to school for business. This is all just on the streets, you know, kind of situation. So, I like, as I've grown in this, I like that part of my life more than I ever had before. And there's something to be said about that, I think, is like, as I'm growing from being an artist to a businessman and putting on both of those things at the same time, I think that's, you know, when some of the deeper magic can start to happen, because then we can touch more people. What we're doing here is really special. I feel like we are going to very soon be able to allow this company to grow in a bigger and new way that hopefully will kind of disrupt the industry a little bit. Because I think what we're doing is such a new thing in the industry. Like we're just really layering a lot of different flavors that people aren't using, and just doing it in a different way that feels, I think, the most authentic stuff that I've ever put out in the world. And I think authenticity has probably one of the highest vibrations on the planet. And there's something really special to be holding that, I think.
Yeah. Well, and just something to kind of wrap up on, any kind of rituals or routines or anything in your life that's meaningful to you, like just anything that's a part of your day or week or anything like that, you know, that you can tell me about?
Yeah. I like to get out into nature as much as I possibly can. This is something that I didn't realize was such a part of me. I grew up in the country, and we just like play all day outside. And as I've lived in the city more, I didn't realize how big of a part of me that was kind of being neglected in some ways. So if I can get out in the woods anywhere and just be like back in that space as a child and like having that curiosity and that playfulness, it just changes my whole, like, no matter where I'm at, if I'm already having a great day, like it's gonna be like just even like even more abundant in that. And I really feel like that's the thing for me that keeps me engaged, keeps me listening to nature that's inside of me, when I can have that reflection of like, what's my, you know, you got all this stuff out in the world that like can be reflected into us, and then are we reflecting that out of us in ways that are like really us or not? And so I think the more that I can spend in nature and just walking around and like, you know, like find like a praying mantis, like pod, you know, pod somewhere or something like that, it brings that spark in a way that I don't think anything else really does. I like to connect with my body, and stretching and yoga and breathing and those kinds of things too, which I think are really important for all of us. But I think nature is the biggest piece that this kind of resounds really big in my life. So,
how can people follow you if they want to stay in touch with what you're doing and so forth?
Most of the stuff that we put out into the media sphere is through Instagram. So Confluence_Kombucha on Instagram. We'll keep up on the stories of our new flavors and stuff like that, and whatever new happenings with us. I keep up with my stories, but it's not something that we're pushing as far as like a big marketing thing or anything like that. If you really want to connect with us, come to our shop in the Grove. We'll have another a new shop coming up in March. That'll be super fun. It'll be a second iteration of what we've been doing, called the Fox Den. And then Tower Grove Farmers Market every Saturday starting April till November. So those would be the places to find us.
Cool.
Yeah, I really appreciate our time here today. Thank you for asking me to be part of this.
Well, you're welcome. It was great for me too. So mm-hmm. Thanks, William. Yeah.